You're listening to City Lights. I'm Lois Reitzes. Good to be with you. Diana Ross paid tribute to her friend Marvin Gaye with Missing You. Michael Stipe and R.E.M. famously penned Man on the Moon about the late comedian Andy Kaufman. Artists and musicians have long paid tribute to their patrons and their loved ones, but perhaps the trickiest homages from one composer to another. You want to honor them, maybe by imitating their musical style, but you want to make the piece your own, too. Pianist Benjamin Grosvenor has collected his favorite classical tributes in his new album titled Homage. You put a great amount of thought into each album you record, and each of the works represented shares a common idea. What is the overall theme of this new recording, Homage?
Well, the theme is sort of the idea of homage or tributes, and some composers are looking back to the past, and specifically a number of them to the Baroque era. And there's also the idea of personal tribute. There's a bonus track or a series of tracks online, which the work is Ravel Tombeau de Couperin, which also fits into this theme, and also brings in the idea of personal tribute, because of course Ravel dedicated each movement of that to a friend who died in the First World War. And then there's some Chopin and Liszt, Chopin Barcarolle and Liszt Venezia and Napoli, where the composers are very much looking towards to particular places. Chopin to Venice, which was a place that he never visited. And Liszt is a different story, because he was very well-travelled, and he his tributes are to Venice and Naples, but he is using themes, sort of melodies that would have been popular at the time, and translating them in the most genius ways.
How does Ferruccio Busoni transform violin music by Bach to keyboard?
In an incredible way. I mean, he is completely different. I don't think if you hadn't heard the violin original, you probably couldn't imagine that this was originally a work for violin. You might be forgiven for thinking it was a work for organ. I think the kind of sonority that Busoni creates here, it's as if he transcribed it to organ and then to piano. Although he's incredibly faithful to the narrative of Bach's music, which is as he should be, he adds so much to it to really make it into as monumental a piece for piano as it seems for violin, really stretching the piano to its limits in the same way that Bach does with the violin.
You mentioned the organ, the fact that it feels as though it could be an organ work. Franck was also a great organist. How do you think that travels from piano keyboard to organ keyboard in the music you've recorded on Homage?
I think it's something of the sonority. In the Busoni, you can almost imagine, you know, you have this incredible expanse of sound, and then at times he just sort of is almost as if he pulls out, boom, you know, he takes away all of the stops, and we're left with something so transparent and so clear and so personal. And so there's a number of moments like that in that piece. But Franck, as you said, was an organist, a very fine organist, and I think you can often see that in his music and in the sounds that he creates. Sometimes it's a very sort of rich bass dominated sound world that he conjures up, and I think some organists sort of see a lot of pianistic writing in his organ playing. It was a sort of individual who has divided his time between the two worlds, I suppose. But the Franck is just such an extraordinary emotional journey. I mean, it explores very dark emotions and explores a sort of quite a desolate landscape throughout the Prelude and the Chorale. And there's a sense of great struggle, particularly in the fugue, which sort of seems like the fugue is almost working out the emotions that he's presented to us. But it's a struggle which eventually sort of ends in resolution or in climax, but only at the very end. It's on the penultimate page it finally takes us to the major key, and it ends with pealing bells on the piano. And so there's this sort of great journey of overcoming struggle, these dark emotions and this incredible struggle.
One of the most beautiful moments of this recording, I think, is your performance of the Mendelssohn Prelude in E minor. Your interpretation brings out a fiery, more romantic aspect of Mendelssohn than one usually associates with his music. Is Mendelssohn's music especially meaningful to you?
I think he's a marvelous and maybe somewhat, I could say, underrated composer. These pieces of Mendelssohn's output probably some of the least familiar, I suppose. He wrote six of these preludes and fugues, and they're really, all of them are marvelous in the way they're constructed. I mean, using the fugal techniques and the counterpoint is also is so incredibly fine, but sort of in the way that Bach did, there's this sense in them of an emotional journey, and I think the E minor that you mentioned is perhaps the best example of this. It's perhaps sort of the greatest masterpiece of the six of them in a way. The fugue, I mean, it starts off with this sort of lamenting exposition, and it gradually builds in fervor and in fire, but it's sort of again, almost like the Franck, there's a sense of struggle that is only resolved at the end. And the prelude and fugue by Mendelssohn there is actually a prelude, fugue, and chorale. And it's just the struggles are overcome with triumph in the same way that the Franck is, but in this piece with the chorale, and it comes to the major key, and you have this very triumphant statement, which gradually dissipates into a coda, which is so soothing and so moving after everything that has come before it.
For all of the suffering his reputation experienced in the early 20th century in Germany and Austria, and I guess some of it's, lasted well into the mid-20th century in Germany and Austria, I always thought it impressive that in the UK, Mendelssohn is considered a British composer, and that it seemed his reputation did not suffer, if anything, grew all the more important. Did your teachers instill that in you?
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, of course, there were these wonderful set of piano pieces, which used to be played a lot as sort of encore pieces, or sometimes as substantial works in a recital, the songs without words, which is that there's such a variety of music there, and then some of the most beautiful gems among them. It's pieces like the Variation Series, and which are wonderful masterpieces for the piano. So I have been familiar with a lot of Mendelssohn's works since I was very young. And he was such a wonderful composer with a mastery of composition, a very individual, unique voice. So he's one of many composers who are very dear to me.
You are 23?
24.
24 now, a young man. And you were 11 when you won the keyboard prize at the BBC Young Music Competition. Even in the past few years, has your outlook toward performing changed? And has your style evolved?
I'm sure it has. It can be hard to talk about such things because I suppose it's the kind of... I mean, I've sort of grown up at the same time as sort of developing with my career. And of course, things change without you really noticing because, you know, change happens over time and you might not be so aware of it yourself. So I'm sure other people can probably be a better place to judge it than me. But of course, it is interesting sort of performing through the years growing up. And I won that competition when I was 11. So I started playing professionally after that. Not a lot because obviously I had school, but I was still giving concerts. And I think when I sort of entered my teens, I think performing became something that was harder. I suppose sort of the when you're a child, you sort of some of the pressure of it goes over your head. You're not so responsive to that. And I suppose becoming sort of entering my teens, becoming more self-aware, it became a little more difficult to go and perform. And of course, I overcame that and I'm sure developed much and further since then as well in the way that I comport myself on stage and the way that I give concerts.
Yes, I noticed one American critic for the New York Times described you as having an aristocratic ease on stage. And I thought, wow, you know, this is extraordinary at any age. Are you aristocratic?
I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm not the most overtly physical player. I think sort of not so much happens from the arms upwards. maybe that's where that impression comes from. I don't know.
Well, what matters is what comes out of the keyboard, what comes out of the piano. Benjamin, we look forward to your performance with the Atlanta Symphony here in February. You'll play Saint-Saëns' second piano concerto. That's quite a dazzling piece.
Yes, it's a wonderful work. I mean, speaking of Baroque influence, it begins with that wonderful sort of Bachian cadenza on the solo piano. But it's a strange piece, really, put it that way. And, you know, it starts with it starts with Bach and ends with Offenbach. It's this... You have that at the beginning and the first movement, which is very lyrical and quite sort of dark and troubled, and then you have this sort of scherzo second movement, which is so light and frothy and humorous and witty, and then this furious tarantella in the last movement. It's a really really wonderful piece and quite unique.
Well, can't wait to hear you play it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks very much.